I mean, it's really interesting how he's got thousands of people, smaller group inside, but thousands watching outside. And he was absolutely right to frame this UAW strike along the lines of what he's doing. In fact, some of the people in I think it was DeSantis in the debate was basically saying, "Hey, UAW, you need to go park yourselves in Washington D.C. and protest what Biden is doing." And DeSantis is absolutely right, and that's exactly what Trump was saying. What's really the issue here? Is the issue low-paying wages? Is the issue that the wages can't keep up with inflation? Well, I mean, we can make a case that, you know, wages for UAW workers is pretty high. But what you can't say is that wages are keeping up with inflation. And so whether it's the middle class, the working class, whoever, people like me on fixed income, it's hard to keep up with inflation. Gas prices are back up. You know, grocery prices remain high. Go take a look and see if you can buy, you know, a ribeye steak at $18 a pound. You ain't buying it. You know, think about how good it tasted 2 years ago when you could buy them. Ain't happening now, folks. So you've got this UAW issue in terms of wages not keeping up with inflation. And then, of course, they throw in, you know, the fact that, you know, the big three automakers and their bosses are all making lots of money. Okay, I'm not going to follow that class attack line, okay? I mean, it is what it is. The people who are at the top of these organizations, in my view, are well-deserving to be paid a lot of money to keep, you know, those corporations running in a good way, okay? Having said that, the biggest criticisms that the UAW people should be, you know, leveling are two. Number one, why in the world are you, the big three automakers, kowtowing to mandates from Washington, blank, D.C.? Oh, Lori's getting a little anxious there.
Watch it now.
Watch it. Why kowtow to these mandates? It makes absolutely no sense. And of course, the mandates are all about what? Electric cars. So you have Ford losing $4 billion last year over electric cars, even though they're subsidized. The public doesn't want them. Now, scratch your head a minute and say, gee, why not have an electric car? Well, if you want to go on a family vacation and you've got a battery range of maybe 300 miles, what happens when you need to recharge the battery and you're in the middle of, nowhere? What happens? Well, that's kind of an issue, don't you think? What happens when everybody has an electric car, and this is happening in California, and there's a blackout? Why do they have blackouts? Well, because they went to green energy, but the green energy can't support the stupid grid. So you can't charge your car. Well, guess what? If you have some sort of a device that you need to breathe and you need to have electricity for it, you have an even worse problem. I mean, these idiots who are doing this have got to be stopped. That's the real issue, okay? And that will only come about if we get rid of Biden and the Democrats who are in charge of the Senate. But my point here is, why is the UAW so blind to the reality that their demands can't be met because the business model is already in trouble? And I read that these people saying, well, the big three are making a lot of money. They're making some money some places. Guess where? Trucks, SUVs. That's what people want. Oh, well, how dare these people want to have an SUV? I mean, I remember 15 years ago, Rush Limbaugh saying, they're coming for your SUV, and boy, was he right. And they're coming for the trucks. They hate this. Now, I have to say, I'm not a truck lover. I'm not paying $70,000 for some damn truck that gets 8 miles a gallon. That is absolutely stupid if you're in a situation like I am, we're on a fixed income, blah, blah, blah. Okay? But that doesn't mean that I don't want people to be able to buy trucks. That's the insanity of all this. It's like what I was saying a little while ago about this whole deep state business. Who do these people think they are, that they know better than everybody else and they are going to impose their will, controlling across the board everything you do? And they want to get rid of the dollars, cash. Hey, forget that. Let's go digital so they can control exactly what you have and find out what you're spending it on so that they can put pressure on you to say, hey, we don't like those expenditures. You better shut it down or your digital money is going away. Well, ain't this real Americana stuff? I mean, this is such BS, it's ridiculous. But you have these Democrats out there who are true believers. Nothing more than Heinrich Himmler, absolute truer believer. How in the world have we come to this position? And how in the world is it that they actually have political power? I mean, that's the real question. So, again, Mark Levin talks about this perfectly, you know, about these crazies. If you can, Google Mark Levin's his Sunday show on Fox. Absolutely wonderful. You know, you'll get some of the best information from someone who is absolutely brilliant. Okay. So at any rate, here we are. I mean, it makes no sense what is happening with all this, but it is happening. Trump's UAW argument basically is this: go find out why Biden wants to destroy your jobs. This whole business of electrification means that as the industry shifts to full electric production, guess what? The number of individuals needed to produce those cars is far less than what it takes to produce the normal car, non-electric car, fossil fuel car, call it what the hell you want to call it. So it's a death spiral what Biden and the Democrats are doing for the UAW. But do you think they're smart enough to figure it out? No, I mean, they aren't. They're stuck in a model that basically says it's the capitalists versus the workers, and we're going to get our share of the money. Okay, fine and dandy. But if you cripple the industry with these kind of demands that they're talking about, 32-hour work week, 40% raise in salaries, how does that actually work in the real business world when Ford just lost $4 billion? I don't know. But like I said, this isn't about the old approach to it. This is all about saving the auto industry from the insane desires of the climate change greens who don't care about anything other than their own agenda. They don't care about what we're doing out here in the hinterland with high inflation for gas, high inflation for food, whatever. Interest rates that are now up way beyond the means of many people to buy a house. You know, they don't care. They want power. That's what this is about. So I'm hoping that the UAW will take heed from what Trump is saying. Go after Biden and the crazy electrification mandates. Makes no sense. So we shall see, as they say. Next thing I want to talk about, let me just grab a minute here.
And I'll let you get that sip of water by saying you're listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises.
Yes. Dr. Lunatic is kind of getting out there.
On WABF.
On WABF. Yeah, I mean, these kinds of issues.
I love that nickname, Dr. Lunatic. Oh, Dr. that's Lunatic. Hilarious.
Yeah, that came a long time ago. It's really... It's really funny. I was at the bank one day, and one of the guys at the bank I'd been chummy with, and you know, we tease each other about political stuff. So there was this guy in front of him, in front of me, that my bank guy was talking to, and so the bank guy starts, "Oh, Dr. Lou, how are you doing? Good to see you. I'll be with you in a minute." That sort of stuff. So the guy he's talking to turns around and says, "I've heard you before. You know, I thought you were, you know, a lunatic then." I said, "Well, I've only gotten worse, so it's okay." We had a good laugh about that one. It didn't go any further than that. He didn't attack me, but...
That's good.
All right, so here's more news that's happening this week, okay? Our buddy Joe Biden... Now is being investigated, a preliminary investigation prior to impeachment, okay? So, and of course, the Democrats are going nuts about this. This, from them, who had no grounds to do an impeachment on Trump over the call to Zelensky, especially no grounds to impeach him again over January 6th, but they did it anyway, and they did it in the worst possible way. You know, no hearings, no nothing. Nancy Pelosi demanded it. She got it. Now, there is a question as to whether or not McCarthy should go ahead and have a vote on this. I think Jonathan Turley, in his testimony yesterday, was basically of the opinion that it's better to go ahead, take a vote, and legitimize the inquiry, okay? But one can also make the case that the evidence that they have shown so far, and as Comer was saying the other day, you know, Biden has lied to the American people over and over again about the fact that he never talked about his son's business with him. In other words, there was a wall of separation between Hunter and Daddy Joe when it came to business. Well, all the evidence that they've produced shows that if there was a wall, it kind of got broken fast, okay? There was no wall of separation, okay? So they've changed their tune, and now they're basically saying he was never involved with the business. Not that he, you know, never talked about it. They didn't say anything about business. No, he's never involved with it. Well, that's a mini wall of separation, trying to claim that whatever Hunter was doing, that's Hunter's business, okay? But as we've seen over and over again, and I mean, I've talked about this before. I mean, how do you handle $3.5 million to these shell companies? How do you handle the fact that you had, you know, millions more going to the shell companies? How do you handle the fact that the Burisma deal really is the low-hanging fruit, where you had a Burisma official telling the FBI that in his view, this is on one of those 2023 forms, whatever they call them, that Joe Biden took a bribe in order to help the Ukrainian government, I mean, to stop the Ukrainian government from investigating Burisma. And that benefited Hunter Biden. Again, that's the famous Joe Biden, you know, having a discussion, you know, at the Foreign Relations Council, bragging about it. How, you know, SOB, they quit. They fired the guy after I told them, you know, well, I'm going to hold that $1 billion that you want for aid. I mean, you look carefully at all of that. You look carefully at what Devin Archer and Bob Alinsky and others have said. It's pretty clear that the Oversight Committee and others have put together a coherent case that is unexplainable in terms of what did they do to get this money other than sell the brand. I mean, that's basically what it really boils down to. The really incredible issue is how is it that some of these Republicans, like Congressman Buck and others, are saying there's no evidence? All that does is feed into the Democrat narrative. The evidence is there if you take a look at it. So the question going forward is, how do we deal with this? Do we keep digging and go nowhere? I mean, it seems like, on the one hand, and I've suggested this to you all before, that the low-hanging fruit for an impeachment breaking all the laws was over the border. I mean, that's cut and dry. I've suggested to you, but I've also suggested this to Jerry Carl. They should have gotten after the HHS director, Mayorkas. He's the real low-hanging fruit there. If you didn't want to do Biden on the border, at least do Mayorkas and get rid of him and send a signal to whoever comes in there, this is your fate. But you can make the same case about Biden not upholding the laws about the border. I mean, if the Democrats are going to make the case that there's no corruption here, no evidence, no smoking gun, blah, 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 can they make that same case when it comes to the border? You know they can't. And to be honest with you, I mean, look, you look at this border, you look what's happening. We've already talked about 6 million illegals that have come in already. Another 1.5 million gotaways that we know about? How many terrorists, over 200 known terrorists on the watch list? Which doesn't mean that we got all of them, because of the 1.5 million gotaways, you sure are going to bet that there's going to be some terrorists on the watch list there. So trying to get Biden on corruption charges, and I think some of the folks on the TV pundits have basically said, unless there is more than a smoking gun, you're not going to have the Democrats ever believe that there's a problem. Now, let's see what happens with Menendez. This is his second go-round. 2015, they got him on corruption charges. He beat them. Might be a little bit harder this time with, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash in the house and gold bars and this, that, and the other. But, you know, he's playing the Latino card. The only reason I'm being oppressed like this is because, you know, my parents came from Cuba and I'm a Latino. Well, whatever on that. But the reality is, even with the evidence that they've already gotten on it, Menendez is more than likely going to walk again. So if the bar is so high to prove the allegations, the argument has to be, find another place to impeach him on. or another place to go to impeach him. And at this juncture, the border is the likely place. Like I said, I've argued that Mayorkas was the low-hanging fruit. Take care of it. We said this months ago when Jerry Carl met with a bunch of us. Get Mayorkas. And he said, it's in the works. Well, I mean, so May, June, July, it's almost October, still in the works. You really think it's in the works? I don't think so. And you can make the case, well, the Republicans have their hands full. You know, they're trying to do the impeachment and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get that. You know, but McCarthy says we can walk and chew gum at the same time, meaning they can do the investigations and still deal with the budget. So I'm going to come to that in a second. But if they can walk and chew gum on those issues, why can't they walk and chew gum at the same time and, you know, continue to conduct the corruption issues? But my God, the border is hemorrhaging. They're breaking the law every day. And you don't have to be a constitutional lawyer to figure this out. You don't have to have such a high bar where, unless the Burisma president has given Uncle Joe, you know, his $3 million or $6 million, whatever the hell it was, if you're not going to have that kind of evidence, a videotape playing or something along those lines, then why not shift the focus to where you can actually make a difference? I mean, it seems like such a no-brainer. But here again, walking and chewing gum at the same time, we're back to some real problems, okay? Because now you're looking at this shutdown. And of course, you know, hand-wringing over the shutdown. I mean, there have been all sorts of shutdowns over the years. Reagan had several, you know, Bush had a couple, blah, blah, blah. I mean, is the shutdown the absolute end of the world? No. But it doesn't matter. The media is going to show it as nothing more than the end of the world. So there's a political price to pay, in theory, about shutting down the government. I mean, I would argue that Jim Jordan had a good case to make last Sunday. Essentially, what McCarthy is trying to do is pass a continuing resolution for 30 days, which would give the Republicans the chance to finish all 12 of the appropriations bills. They've got four of them done now, okay? So with all the appropriations done, then that would be a package that could go before the Senate, and you would start negotiating on it and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, this is the Matt Gaetz position and others that, wait a second, McCarthy promised that we weren't going to do any more continuing resolutions. Okay, so he promised. Well, I mean, now you're at a position where a continuing resolution might, for 30 days, make sense. I mean, on the other hand, you can make the case that instead of going on, you know, 6 weeks of vacation in August till after September Labor Day, 5 weeks, then they could have gotten all that done. And I don't disagree with that argument. It's true. They could have done more before they left and taken maybe a 2 week or a 10 day vacation. But I mean, they do everything by rote up there. Every August they have a time off. Okay, so it's August, so it's time off. Doesn't matter what needs to be done, I guess. But at this juncture, what happened in August happened in August. They didn't get the stuff done, fine. Let's get it done now, pass the CR, and then fight the good fight with the Senate. So we'll see what happens with that one too, I guess. All right. So we have a continuing situation with, I would argue, this Ukrainian business, okay? It's come up again, and I know that I'm running a little bit short of time, even though Laurie promised me an extra minute, okay? And I always take more than I deserve.
Yes, you do.
And she's always so good about giving more, okay? So let me just kind of shortly summarize what seems to be what's happening with all this after Zelensky came and visited, not this past week, but a week before, and I didn't get a chance to really comment on it, okay? So you have now, finally, American Abrams tanks getting into the fight in Ukraine. And again, this supposedly going to affect the ability of the Ukrainians to have the counteroffensive in the east that they've been trying to get hold of and change the real nature of the war in the east, where they could liberate those eastern provinces, okay? So that's still an ongoing issue. But then we also have questions about, you know, weapon systems that could reach out into Russia, HIMARS, okay? You have issues pertaining to, well, what about Crimea? What are we going to do about that? You know, and then you have people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. asking the question, what does peace look like? What are we looking at this, okay? So, again, taking a 30,000-foot look at it, what basically is happening is that China has become the centerpiece of our most important enemy. The Chinese have become helpful to the Russians to the point where without the Chinese taking Russian oil and gas and all the rest of it, Putin wouldn't have any money to do anything. So we have pushed the Chinese and the Russians together. At the same time, Biden has lessened the deterrent effect of American power. And you say, well, how did that happen? Well, quite simply, take a quick look at Afghanistan. Biden pulls out of Afghanistan, leaves millions of dollars of equipment, but worse than leaving the equipment is leaving the people that we told we would be there to help, okay? And you say, well, wait a minute. Trump started the withdrawal. Yes, he did, but he predicated it on facts on the ground. And those facts were told to Joe Biden by many different military commanders, including the CENTCOM commander. Don't do what you're doing. The timing is not right. But he did it anyway. And so we wiped out 20 years of sacrifice, left people behind who fought with us that we promised that we would take care of them. We still haven't. And at the same time he's doing that, the first day in office, what does Biden do? He opens up the Russian pipeline with Germany that Trump had shut down. So here, my folks, you see the appeasement approach, the willingness to do nothing, and I would argue you're setting the stage with Ukraine for a very difficult issue that's going to face us, because what Putin has argued about the Ukrainian eastern provinces can be made the same argument to the Baltic states. Russian-speaking people who want to be under Russia. Well, the problem is the Baltic states are in NATO, folks. So if Putin decides to do what he did in the eastern Ukrainian provinces, we are going to have a major problem, and it's going to sit right where Biden is, because he has taken away the deterrent effect of American power. And on that rather unhappy note, I will sign off. Lori, it was certainly good to see you again, dear. And I hope that we'll be able to continue this show past October, when we're pretty sure that we're going to be gone. So thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend. God bless.
Take care. Bye. Thank you, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on Highway 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. If you missed part of this program or want to tell a friend about it, it will be posted at WABF1480.com. Now resuming regular programming. Let me tell you about